So today's episode is sponsored by a lovely gift from Terry Vincelette on New Year's Eve. And it is a bottle of Andre. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Why is this happening?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like there's been an injustice here.
This is so cheap.
What is that?
It's just like maybe glue and...
Oh, it was on your fingers?
Gold foil. No, it's from the bottle.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was so concerned. All right, cool. Notes, 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 notes. Sending her dumb. Women of a certain age. During menopause, is it normal to have crippling pain with every... now, 4 monthly period. And now that the men have scrolled past, the world domination meeting is still on. We meet at the clock tower at 6 p.m. sharp. Wear flat shoes.
I saw that and I just busted up laughing because I was like, nobody wants to read this. And then as you read it, a dude was like, fuck this, I'm over this.
What is this?
Bleh.
They talking about periods and menopause and shit. I'm out. So what's going on, Sunny? Oh,
dude.
How was your week?
Oh, well. My week was good. I know, it's the Andre. It's like,
wow.
Sweet, right?
You
just brush your
toothpaste.
Teeth.
Yeah, toothpaste taste.
Yeah, that'll ruin it. But it is kind of like sweet. My week was really productive, I would say. I had that interview with Dave Daly. On Monday, went to work every day this week. I went to Hollywood. I got to hang out with Mario for lunch, and I went into the office and saw everybody. Mm. Because I thought that was their last day there, because they're moving to downtown LA.
At that building?
Mm-hmm. They're going to be there next week, too. But everybody was, oh, hi.
They're like, are you coming back?
Please come back. And so I just, you know, went and popped in and saw them. Fucking shit. Work. Work, work, work.
Yeah, work.
How was your week?
It was cool. I think it was a little productive. I'm working on getting all these affiliate links up on my websites.
Well, that's fun.
So people can buy stuff and I can get paid. And I made an Instagram for my Loveland website.
Okay. Tell me about your Loveland website.
It's the one, like, I started this website in 2013, but I never, like I would, like, make a blog post and then, like, a year later do another blog post and,
yeah.
Like, 1 year do, like, 3 blog posts, but, like, I never, like, put any real effort into it because I was always doing other stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, I had to go, like, leave my house and drive 2 hours to go somewhere and do some shit for 8 hours and then drive 2 hours home.
Yeah.
So it was like, I couldn't, you know.
Nobody got time for that.
Yeah. And it's not like I have, you know, an assistant, which I really needed.
You know what? I was thinking that too. I was like, I really, really need an assistant. I was talking to Lauren about her business and I was just like, oh, like for what I want them to do, it would be, you know, it would make me more efficient since they have a variety of like certain like skills and capabilities. Bless you. Bless you, but I don't know if I could like employ a virtual assistant. And I was thinking, I've got Kendall. If she can just take notes for me and like respond to like text messages, and...
yeah, you have child labor. That's what I was trying to get Jelani to do.
Yeah, you have child labor.
I was trying to get him to do like be my social media person, and I
yeah.
would just like create posts,
mm-hmm.
and then I would just have him schedule them.
Mm-hmm.
In Buffer, because Buffer, you know, posts for you,
mm-hmm.
but he's so freaking lazy that he just didn't want to do anything, and I was like, you could get paid, like, this is, it's an actual job, there is a job description written for this, you can get paid to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you're missing out, dude. And so, thought about going on Upwork. I hate Upwork so much, but.
What is that?
It's one of those job bidding sites, like, you post something that you need, like, blog posts, and I'm on there as a as a writer, like as a work for hire person, but yeah. I never go on there because the people on there that are looking for jobs, they want to pay you literally like
pennies on the dollar.
They want 1,000-word blog posts for $5.
Oh, shit.
And you're like,
fuck you.
That's not even like, you know, that's not even enough money to pay for like my internet. Like, get out of here. So, I was going to go on there and like see if I can get some people to just like, you know, write like basically like first drafts, blog posts, and then I would go in and do, you know, do the
Revit.
Fix them up and, you know, make them post worthy because a lot of people on there are, you know, English is their second language or they're actually in another country trying to, you know, write. And so I was like, but I haven't thought about.
That's a good idea. Like, I feel like my shitty rough draft, but my first one is usually like the skeleton of the story. And if someone went in behind me and kind of buffed it up a little bit and gave it a little more direction, that would be super beneficial to me.
Yeah. So, and I was like, I mean, that is easy, but then again, like I would feel bad trying to be like, oh, it's $5. Like I'll pay you $5. You write a 500-word blog post for me. And that's, you know, that's my first draft.
That's fucked up.
And you know, I'd be pissed off if somebody was like, oh, I'll give you $5 for this. I'd be like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, this is my job, and you're trying to pay me $5 for that? Like, if we were in a workplace,
mm-hmm.
I would be making an hourly wage of way more than
$5. That's like a dollar an hour.
That's like a dollar an hour. That's less than a dollar an hour, because it takes more than an hour to write a 500-word blog post, especially if it's on something that you have no, like, no experience with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Do the research.
So. And that's what these people don't understand. Like, and like when I actually answered a LinkedIn freelancer thing, they have this thing where people can like go on LinkedIn and
like a marketplace.
Yeah, sort of. And this lady, I had responded to her posting, and she runs a dating site.
Ooh.
It's a matchmaking company that she runs, and they're in LA. They've got like locations like basically across the country.
Okay.
And she was asking how much I would charge for a 700-word blog post. And I was like, well, my rate is 65 cents a word. And, you know, if you want to do, like, work long-term, I can do per project rate instead of a per word rate, because a per project rate would be less, because, like, a project would be 4 to 5 things that she needed, because she wanted some blog posts, and she wanted content for her website, like a write-up about her and her daughter, who are the owners of this company. And I was like, okay. And then she wanted a whole like thing, because they're opening, I guess, a new location in Philadelphia. She was like, and I need a page for my Philadelphia services page done. I was like, okay, cool, that sounds like, you know, a whole project, that's great, I can do a per project rate. Well, she was like, well, how much would 700 words be? I was like, well, at 700 words, that's 65 cents an hour. And I gave her the rate, and she didn't respond at all. I'm just like, dude, like...
Did you follow up with her?
Do you people really think that I'm going to give you, like, a rate of 5 cents
right.
a fucking word? No, I'm not. I've been doing this way too long to charge that little bit.
For no response at all, I, like, it's a game, and I would have followed up. I'd be like, hey, well, you know, I sent you the rate, you know, where do you stand on that?
I'll follow up with her on Tuesday. This doctor person was interviewing people, mm-hmm. and she did the same thing. And I was like, she asked me what my rate was. I gave it to her. And then just like no contact. And it's like, you're being really, like, if you want good work, then you should be willing to pay for good work. Mm-hmm. Don't freaking give me, oh, well, you know, that sounds expensive. No, it doesn't. Because there are people out there that charge $2 a word. And I should be. I'm not going to, because I don't stick to just one, like, I prefer to write about one or two specific things, but, like, I, you know, my niche is, like, I'll write for health and medical and wellness, and then I charge more for that, but for, you know, dating website, 65 cents a word is good, but she wanted, like, you know, me, I'm in India, I'm gonna charge you 5 cents a word, which is like 80 rupees or something. It's something like the rupee to dollar ratio is ridiculous.
And they'll be like, oh, it's 1,000 rupees. And then you look on there, it's $5.
Oh.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, so that's how my week was.
Hustle
but yeah,
and
I'm focusing
hustle
on,
and hustling.
Yeah,
hustling.
I'm focusing on getting, you know, like keeping my websites up to date so they rank. You know, getting some eyeballs to the pages and people clicking on them links and those ads.
Click, 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 click,
okay,
click,
for
click.
Real.
All right, well, let's get into it. I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandi Fleeks. And this is
Book of Lies. A podcast. So, hi, all of the listeners. How you guys doing?
Hey!
if this is your first episode, welcome, 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 and thank you for listening. Go ahead and subscribe right now so you can come on back to our existing listeners. Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for all of your support. A lot of things are happening, so we are, like, at the cliff of 20,000 listens and downloads and streams and everything.
We're on the precipice.
We're on the precipice. we're so close, and it's going to happen. We recently reached 3,000 followers on Twitter.
That's exciting.
Which is awesome. Like, I feel like our message is just being heard. You know what I'm saying? I feel like our network is just growing.
Our message.
It's growing with all of you guys, and thank you so much for helping us hit that 3K.
Yeah.
And being here for us and supporting us.
It's exciting, yeah.
We freaking love you guys.
We should have a party.
It's a fucking party.
Podcast party!
Podcast party. I was in the Lady Pod Squad Slack. I was like, we need to get a freaking meetup going on in California early, like Q1 2020. Right? And then I was
March 31st.
I was listening to Two Girls on a Bench because they're back.
Yeah.
And
I have their podcast downloaded. I'm just like, unfortunately, I can't find my freaking phone.
Well, they were like, one of their goals for 2020 is to go to the Padre in Bakersfield.
Why? I was just in Bakersfield yesterday.
Well, the Padre is nice, like, when you get in there and, you know, whatever. It's Bakersfield. Bakersfield is Bakersfield. But I was like, we should do, like, a podcast meetup at the Padre in Bakersfield.
Why?
Because it's, like, a middle point for California.
Oh, you're talking about the entire state. Whoever California wants. Meetup. I thought you were talking about, like, a SoCal meetup.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm talking about the world of California, the whole state.
You're talking about the entire state.
Well, if anybody wants to come, I think that would be awesome. I think we should put it out there and we should make that shit happen.
Well, you know, there's some podcasters that don't pay attention to other podcasters. So.
Well, that's fine. I pay attention to you guys.
You know who I'm talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. Well, I think we should make that shit happen. So thank you so much. We were in the pod raid 2 weeks ago and we got raided and we got some great reviews and had a lot of people listening to us, so thank you so much. I want to thank the Next Wave and the Pod Nation and everybody. So you guys are fucking dope. We love you. We love being a part of this community. And Brandi, what are we talking about today?
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very unique case of fraud. At least unique as in terms of this is like the first of its kind. This person is, I believe there's some mental illness going on personally, but you know, whatever, maybe this person just thinks, I don't know, whatever. So I don't know what her deal is. She's crazy. I believe that there's some craziness there.
Well, mental illness.
The person that we are going to discuss today is Rachel Dolezal.
Rachel Dolezal.
The person who reverse passed as a black person. Because you know how they say black people will try to pass as white people. Well, she was reverse passing.
So she was...
She was trying to pass as black.
She was masquerading as a woman of color, as a black woman.
As a black... Not a woman. As a black woman.
As a black woman, she was masquerading. Okay.
She was trying to fit in. She was trying to be woke, apparently.
Hashtag woke.
She was trying to be woke. We got woke on her.
You know, because we don't question you. We're like, hey, if you say you black, whatever.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this Rachel person.
Rachel.
So Rachel Dolezal. Rachel Ann Dolezal, was born on November 12th, 1977, in Lincoln County, Montana. Her parents are Ruth Ann and Lawrence, a.k.a. Larry Dolezal. They're white people.
Let's just cut right to it.
They're white people. They are of German, Czech, and Swedish origin. They have no African ancestry at all in their background.
No bloodline. Okay.
None. They are not part of the original people. So she was born with blue eyes and blonde hair. Mm-hmm. She has a brother, a biological brother. His name is Joshua Dolezal. They were like fundamentalist Christians, like the kind that are like, you don't dance, you don't like enjoy yourself, you have no fun.
They were in Footloose.
They're
the Footloose family.
Pretty much, yeah. They homeschooled their kids. They adopted four kids, three African American children, mm-hmm. and one Haitian child.
Okay.
And so Rachel grew up with black siblings.
Got it.
You know, they did the whole thing. She, as a homeschooled child, got straight A's.
Of course.
And she went to Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi, where she got a bachelor's in 2000. And then after Belhaven, she went to Howard and got an MFA, Master of Fine Arts, graduated freaking summa.
Summa cum laude, huh?
Uh-huh, from Howard in 2002. Her thesis at Howard was a series of paintings that were presented from the perspective of a black man. And she later said that at Howard that she was drugged and she was sexually assaulted by a trusted mentor.
Oh.
When she was attending Howard, but that suing was nearly impossible. But after she graduated, she did sue Howard University for discrimination. She said, based on her race, her pregnancy, family responsibilities, and gender, as well as retaliation, that she was denied a scholarship and a teaching assistant position and other opportunities because she was white.
But she said she was pregnant?
She got married while she was in college. Yes. She married her first husband, Kevin Moore.
Is this a black man?
In 2000, yes, he's a black man. She has two children. They're both black children.
Okay.
They come into play later. But yes, she married Kevin Moore in 2000 while she was at school. He was a medical student at Howard. And at the time of their marriage, that's when he was a med student. They got divorced in 2004. She and Moore have one son. His name is Franklin. Okay. Franklin Moore. But after she graduated from Howard, she sued them on the basis of discrimination.
Okay.
Because she apparently was pregnant at the time.
And applied for a job.
And, well, she was a teacher's assistant there. Or, I'm sorry, she was a student teacher. She wasn't a teacher's assistant. She was a student teacher. And so she did teach. She taught art because mm-hmm. she was an artist. They didn't hire her or something. And she was like,
it was on the grounds of discrimination.
Right. And also they took down some art that she had on exhibit or something. And basically she said that it was in favor of a black student's work that they took it down. So, of course, that was also mentioned in her lawsuit.
Okay.
So, yeah, she also alleged that the removal of her artwork from a student exhibition at Howard in 2001 was motivated by a discriminatory purpose to favor African-American students over her.
Well, hot damn.
So, Rachel was born in 1977, so she's 3 years older than me. She's 42 right now. And then in 2010, with the consent of her parents, she became the legal guardian of her 16-year-old adopted brother, Isaiah Dolezal.
The Haitian?
I don't know. It doesn't say if he was which one he was. But he said, it says that he thought he wanted to be emancipated because he claimed that Larry and Ruth Ann beat him and his siblings and threatened to send them to group homes if they didn't obey.
Oh, shit. Scare tactics?
And then her brother Ezra, another adoptive brother. Hey, yeah, bruv.
Yeah, bruv.
He said that that's bullshit. And in an interview with CNN, and he was like, you know, they're fucking full of shit. Like, yes, they did adopt, they were strict, and sometimes they did use corporal punishment. But some people think that all corporal punishment is abuse. Some people think that, you know, it's not, depending on the level of spanking going on. So
I was abused!
Yeah, like, he says they were abused. The other brother's like, no, we were not.
Okay.
They spanked us, but, you know.
Calm the fuck down, dude.
Yeah. It was a different time.
You were an asshole. I would beat your ass, too.
So, in 2016, she had another son named Langston Atticus.
Langston Atticus.
Uh-huh. And she named him after two black historical figures. Langston Hughes. And mm-hmm. I was going to say Atticus Finch, but Atticus Finch is not a real person. So, her brother, Ezra, says that Rachel began changing her appearance as early as 2009.
Okay.
She began using hair products that she saw her adopted sister, Ezra's biological sister, using in her hair.
Okay.
And then she began darkening her skin and perming her hair in 2011. He said when he moved in with Rachel in 2012, she told him that the Spokane area, which is where they lived,
mm-hmm.
that
Spokane, Washington.
Uh-huh. That the people of Spokane, Washington knew her as black, and she told him, don't blow my cover.
Okay.
So, how all of this bullshit started. Or how she came to be, like, you know.
Why is this? Why
how
is
she
this
came
something?
To fucking fame, pretty much. Like, she became infamous. She had claimed to be the victim of race-related harassment. She stated that on September 29th, 2009, that a noose had been left on her porch.
Oh, gosh.
In July 2010, she resigned from the Human Rights Education Institute in Kootenai and said to a news organization that she had been the target of discrimination. She taught at Eastern Washington University, and her biography on the website says that while she was living in Idaho, at least 8 documented hate crimes targeted her and her children. She reportedly made several reports of harassment and other crimes to police in Idaho and Washington, including that she had received a hate mail package at her NAACP post office box that had a swastika, and that she had had a swastika placed on the door of the Human Rights Education Institute where she worked before.
Jeez.
For the hate mail package, detectives said that the envelope that contained alleged threats had no postage stamps, no barcodes, or any indication of having been handled by the postal service. And the postal inspector said, the only way this letter could have ended up in this P.O. box would be if it was placed there by someone with a key to that box or a USPS employee. According to the spokesman review, as of 2015, none of Dolezal's allegation had resulted in an arrest or in the filing of criminal charges. So, she had been making all of these accusations that she was targeted, her and her children were targeted
Why?
With discrimination.
Why, though?
Because she's black.
Listen.
Because she's black.
Okay. And that happens to all black people?
Apparently. It happens to everyone. Everybody. There's a noose. Nooses are put places. And,
left and right.
And
nooses everywhere.
And swastikas and all kinds of other shit.
Listen here, people. Stop it. That.
Stop it, Rachel.
Rachel.
Okay, so it's funny because I watched an interview with her. This man, I don't think I include. Oh, the next day after that had happened, there was an interview that she had done. This interviewer, he asked her point blank. He was like, so you are the only person who has a key to your P.O. box. There's no stamps on there. I mean, it hadn't been handled by the Postal Service, like the police and the post office said. It hadn't been handled by the Postal Service, so how could that have gotten in there? And she's like, well. And she has a big old smile on her face the whole time.
She didn't think about how mail worked.
The whole time she's smiling. She's like, I don't know. Like, and then he was talking about the noose. And she's like, I wouldn't terrorize. I am the mother of 2 black boys. I would not terrorize sons.
Guess what?
They have enough to worry about as black boys.
Just stop it right now. Because if you are a black person, you're not, my children are black. That's like me saying, hey, I am the mother of 2 black daughters.
Right.
It's clear and it's apparent already. Like, the fuck? Why do you have to even say it?
Exactly.
Get out of here.
He's interviewing her, and she's just, like, defending her basically saying that. And he's like, well, you said that when you were living in Idaho that, you know, there were at least 8 cases. And she's like, well, I don't know that it's 8, but there were a lot of cases. And it's funny. We should play the interview. Oh, actually, we should link on the website to the interview. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
But it's just like you're watching this and you're just like, this chick is just full of dog shit. So
horseshit.
So he's interviewing her, right, and he busts out a picture. And he's like, is this your dad? And she's like, yeah, that's my dad. And he's like, this man right here is your father. This guy? And she's like, what's your question? And he's like, I'm wondering, is your dad really black? You know, is he really an African-American man?
Oh, is that her claim that her father's black?
She's, yes. So she claims that a man by the name of Albert Wilkerson is her father. Apparently, Albert Wilkerson is the friend of her uncle.
Knock it off.
And she said that she had met him and that she thought of him as her dad.
You know what, bitch? Okay, I'm done with you.
So, right. So, okay. Then, okay, so... So, okay, the guy, he's like, is this your dad? Like, your dad is this African-American man? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, are you sure? Like, she's like, he's like, yeah. She's like, do you have a question? He's like, yeah, I'm wondering if your dad is really African-American. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's a very, I don't know what you're implying. Like, I don't understand the question.
Bitch, that's not your dad.
He said, are you African-American? She said, I don't understand the question. I did, and she's like, I did tell you that, yes, that's my dad, and he wasn't able to come in January. He's like, are your parents white? And she walks away. And she's like, I refuse, and walks away. Like,
how dare you?
Like,
how dare you ask me?
Yeah.
What my lineage is.
So,
can go ahead and put this swab in your mouth really quick. I'm just going to go ahead and send this off.
Right. So that was in June that she was complaining that she had gotten this hate mail package and all this stuff, right? That same month, her parents appeared on TV.
Sweet.
And they're like, she's Rachel? Passing as black.
Rachel?
We're her parents. She was born with blonde hair and blue eyes. She's white of European, Scandinavian descent.
And proud of it.
She's a white girl. She's lying to all of you.
Are you a true crime addict? Do you find yourself talking serial killers and missing persons at parties only to be met with uncomfortable smiles? Well, find your tribe on True Crime Snack Time, a daily podcast that gives you a little true crime snack to chew on. From January 1st to December 31st, you'll find out what happened on this day in true crime. Short, sweet, and chock full of crime, join me, Allison, on True Crime Snack Time. We're available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Follow True Crime Snack Time on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Crime Snack Pod. And remember, keep your friends close and your snacks closer.
She's not black.
I pushed her from my badge myself. I wasn't hanging around with my uncle's brother's friends or whoever.
Right. So, okay. So she had applied for all these jobs. She held a bunch of, like, pretty good jobs. She was a teacher. She was not a substitute teacher, but, like, I want to say she was, like, an adjunct teacher at, I forgot which university it was, where she taught Africana studies. So she taught, like, African-American women's history. Mm-hmm. She taught a bunch of different classes on African-American studies.
Right.
But she was claiming to be a professor, which she was not.
Oh.
Okay. She had applied for a position of the Office of the Police Ombudsman Commission in Spokane, Washington, in May 2014. And then she was appointed by the mayor. And in her application, she identified herself as having several ethnicities, including black. She had said African-American, Native American, German, Czech, Swedish, Jewish, and Arabic heritage. In June 2015, and this was the same month that all this fucking bullshit came out, the city council president, Ben Stuckert, said that the city had opened an investigation of the truthfulness of her application. On June 17, 2015, the investigation concluded that she had acted improperly, violated government rules, and abused her authority. And the report said that there was evidence and interviews confirming that she was involved in workplace harassment and allegations of a pattern of misconduct.
On her behalf.
By her. So she was asked to resign.
Damn.
Yeah. And because she was basically engaging in intimidating and harassing behavior.
She's a crazy.
On June 18th, 2015, the Spokane City Council voted unanimously to remove her from her position as chair of the Police Ombudsman Commission. Then, during the same year, 2014, when she got that job, she was elected as the president chapter, the chapter president of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP.
They didn't do a background check
in 2014. Well, I don't think they do that. She was noted during her tenure for revitalizing the chapter, but she resigned after all of this bullshit happened, mm-hmm. after it came out that she was not black. The organization announced on June 15th, 2015, after the controversy surrounding her racial identity became public. But the thing about it was the people at the NAACP don't care if you're black or white.
Because I was going to say that's not a requirement to work there, that you it's have not. To be, you know, African-American or of black descent or, you know, right. African descent.
There are people sort. Of the working for the NAACP that are, you know, of all kinds of races. Mm-hmm. The problem was that she's a fucking liar. Mm-hmm. Like, she, and apparently, like, you know, they were like, she does a really good job. Like, she got people involved. She did, she revitalized the whole chapter, but she's full of shit. So, she resigned.
Yeah.
Okay. So, she identifies as black. She says that, that her identification as black has nothing to do with her actual ancestry.
I'm sorry.
I'm black. Inside,
no.
I'm black.
I'm sorry. No.
I can't be... She, like, they've coined the term transracial. And that, like, a lot
so,
of...
So I could say, oh, I feel like I'm from...
I'm Japanese, girl.
Yeah, like, I'm from, what's that, some Scandinavian descent over there.
Sweden? In
Sweden. But what is it called?
They're Swedish. Nordic?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Viking,
I'll
what?
Take it. I'll take it, whatever.
what are we talking
they
about?
Had, I watched it, they had the Olympics in this country, and there was a show on Netflix named after it, and it was Lilyhammer.
Oh, Lilyhammer. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I can just say, oh, I feel like I'm those people. That's who I am.
Well, that's Sweden.
I'm Swedish, like you said. That's why I was like, I'll take that. Yeah. But that's like, okay, I feel like I'm transracial and I'm an actual Swede. Like, that makes no fucking sense. Like, why do
well,
I have
she's,
to...
Well, she's not saying that she's African-American. She's saying black. That's the difference.
So, okay, I'm white.
You're white.
guys, don't look at me.
Don't look at my color. I'm white.
Look at me on the... That's ridiculous.
We're all pink on the inside.
That's ridiculous. Look, if I've learned anything from the circle, it's all about appearance. Okay? So stop it right now, Rachel. She would just have, like, the question mark since she permed her hair...
Exactly.
And she is doing, like, fucking super tanner and making herself ultra tan and wearing head wraps and shit. Because I remember she was doing a lot of head wraps and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people say, what is she? Like, it leaves the door open for question, like,
she's,
what?
Yeah, she's racially ambiguous.
Exactly. So she's like, I think I'm just going to go ahead and sway to the left and be black. And go with this. But what does she feel like? How is she benefiting from this? Like, what does she feel like she's getting? Just because she grew up with these kids, she feels like she should be black? I don't understand.
No. Okay, so, okay. We're not even done yet.
I know. I'm mad. I'm not mad, but I'm just like, this is stupid.
It is. And that's, I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Because, no, okay. I could bleach my skin like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But my hair...
Yep.
With, even if I freaking perm my hair, it's not going to be white straight.
By perm on Brandy's side, she means relax.
Yeah, if hair. I relax my hair, yeah. If I put on fucking contacts, I would have to get a nose job because my nose is obviously not like a Euro
yeah.
nose.
It's an African nose. But it's not really because I feel like you've got a little like...
I have, yeah, my nose is like one of those noses that just like comes out.
Your nose
it's like it doesn't really like
your nose isn't as wide as my nose is. Like my nose is wider and flatter than your nose is.
Your nose well, I think my nose is as wide as yours, but it's not it's like pointier. Like
yeah.
I have a pointier nose.
Yeah.
You can look at my face even if I was freaking as white as goddamn you know.
No.
Yeah. And see, that person has African ancestry.
Yeah.
You're not going to look at me and be like, oh, yeah, she's, you know, from Lilyhammer or anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's clear. There's features, there's certain features and,
right.
you know, looks about yourself that says you're from this region versus that region.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So... but I'm right, guys. I'm white. I'm white. I swear I'm white. Like, come on, Rachel.
Believe
I'm transracial. I'm white. Okay.
Please believe me.
Okay, so on June 11th in 2015, Jeff Sell and Doreen Dolan of Coeur d'Alene Press. I guess. I don't know where the hell
Coeur d'Alene's in Idaho.
Okay. They published an article titled Black Like Me with a question mark. And it reported that she, Rachel Dolezal, had made claims in the media and elsewhere about her ethnicity, race, and background and that are contradicted by her biological parents. And went on to outline Dolezal's past hate crime allegations. Allegations of being abused with a baboon whip by her parents. Misrepresentations about her race. And misrepresentations about the identity of her father. The article further stated that Dolezal, in a recent interview at that time, maintained that she is African American. And she goes, they can DNA test me if they want to. And her parents are like, oh, I would caution you on all of this. This is ridiculous. Ruth Ann said in the article that her daughter's allegations of being abused with a bamboo whip were very false and malicious. They were malicious lies. And adding that it was disturbing to see how dishonest her daughter had become.
Yeah, that's just like, why are you making all this shit up?
And then in a People article, they reported on the circumstances leading up to the publication of Black Like Me? That Sell had learned of Dolezal's allegation that a package containing racist threats against her was delivered to the P.O. box in Spokane. And she recalled that Dolezal had made similar allegations when she was living in Coeur d'Alene and that the allegations were unsubstantiated. Sensing a potential story, Sell discovered that Dolezal had identified that man, Albert Wilkerson, as her father. And he contacted her, they contacted him. And he said, no, that's not my daughter.
I don't know that bitch.
Right? And they then discovered a photo of her actual parents on the internet. And that's when they made contact with her parents. So that's how this all came out. They were like, we know that bitch. She's always saying that she's been fucking, had like, you know, fucking yeah. racial allegations.
Tension.
Had racial threats. She's okay. always had racial harassment. You know, she... At least 8 times
yeah.
while she was in Coeur d'Alene, mm-hmm. she was fucking saying that somebody's putting stuff on her porch.
Yeah, yeah.
And putting, you know, sending her stuff, whatever. So they're like, let's find out about this.
I think the thing is, maybe people didn't talk about her being black enough to her. Maybe people weren't like, oh, I feel your struggle, sister. Oh, hey. I don't get it. I don't understand. But maybe she didn't feel like she was getting enough attention being a black woman that she had to bring more attention to her. Because guess what? Nobody cares about you.
What is the population? Let's look at the population of black people in Spokane, Washington.
All right, let's Google.
Because if there's a chapter of the NAACP in Spokane,
mm-hmm.
there has to be at least a large enough black population for that to exist there. Because guess what? We don't have a fucking NAACP chapter in the Antelope Valley.
Let's start one.
No.
So, 2 or 3 more. So, the percentage to the population of African American or black people is 2.16%. So, fucking a little over 2% population in Washington.
And it's probably less than that in fucking Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coeur d'Alene is in Idaho.
Exactly.
Maybe you might not know.
I mean, it's probably less than that.
Black people might like Idaho.
When I went to Cedar City, freaking Utah, there was one other black person that I saw, and he was a doctor from, like, freaking Kenya or Nigeria or something. So, their population is, like, 0.3% of black or African-American people. So, I think that she figured she would get away with it because there wasn't a large enough black population for people to be like, that never happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it happening to you all of a sudden?
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
You have to be in an isolated area where you're maybe one of seven black faces in the entire population.
And she probably was.
And that's why she could get away with saying this shit, because all the other black people, which there weren't,
right,
couldn't speak out and say, ah, you're full of shit. That never happened to us, so why would it happen to you?
Rachel, you put raisins in your potato salad. You are not black. Stop it right now.
It's fucking gross.
Anyway. Don't put raisins in potato salad.
That's fucking gross. I've seen chicken salad with apples and raisins in it. I'm like,
I don't want to do it.
I can't have that thing. I'm allergic to that particular recipe. So they found a picture of her parents and they were like, oh, okay, let's contact them. And they're like, yeah, your daughter's saying she's black. And they were like, what? We have black children, but she's not one of them.
She's not one of the four black children that we had. We had that one.
Okay. So, Rachel, okay. So, her parents are unique people.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in a teepee in 1974. Rachel told the press that she was born in a teepee, and that she lived in a teepee for a lot of her childhood, which was not true, because they lived in the teepee in 1974. She was born in
1977. Okay.
Her parents were missionaries that they took the kids, the adopted kids, and they lived in South Africa from 2002 to 2006. Rachel says that she grew up in South Africa, but she was fucking 25 years old at the time that they were there. So she didn't go.
She wasn't there.
She was already divorced by the time they went there.
She needs to stop.
So yeah. Well, actually, no, she wasn't divorced by the time they went there. She was divorced by the time they came back, because she got divorced in 2004 and they came back in 2006. Sent them pictures of her when she was a kid with her fucking blonde ass fucking hair and her freaking pale skin, and they sent a copy of her birth certificate. But her parents are also Christian people that, like, they did have the kids at home without, you know, medical intervention. The mom had a miscarriage at one point, and they didn't go to the doctor. She almost bled to death, and all they did was pray.
Oh, my God.
And the birth certificate, like, on the witness, there's a witness area on mm-hmm. birth certificates, and, like, it says Jesus Christ.
Shut the fuck up.
So, they're...
Jesus Christ signed my birth certificate.
Yeah, they're kind of...
They're woo woo.
They're weird. Like, they're
wee woo. I'm sorry. Wee woo. Wee woo. Wee woo. Wee woo. Wee woo.
They're like fundamentalists. They're, you know, they're like, we don't get involved in that stuff.
Okay.
So, June 16, 2015, she did an interview. She did a bunch of interviews around this time, but there was one that she did, and this interviewer asked her, what does it mean? What is the black experience to you? What does it mean to live blackness to
okay.
you?
Okay.
She goes, it means that I have really gone there with the experience in terms of being a mother of two black sons. From a very young age, I felt a spiritual, visceral, instinctual connection with black is beautiful. Just the black experience and wanting to celebrate that. And I didn't know how to articulate that as a young child. But that certainly was shut down. I mean, I was socially conditioned to not own that and to be limited to whatever biological identity was being thrust upon me and being narrated to me.
So maybe she would say to her parents.
She was at least 30 years old before she decided she wanted to change her freaking face.
Right, but maybe as a child she was like, I'm black too, right mom, right dad? And they're like, shut it down. No. No?
No, she went to Howard. Everybody knew her as this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to pass
right.
at Howard. She got through Howard on the basis of her freaking, intelligence.
Yeah.
Her ability. And then she gets these jobs pretending to be black. And it's like, what the fuck? Now you're trying to change who you are.
I don't get it.
To fit into some weird ass fucking narrative that nobody, no, I don't know, okay, and I'm sorry, white people who are listening, I don't know any white person that would want to pretend to be black.
Seriously.
Like, why would you want that? You want people following you around in stores? Yeah? Is that fun for you? Oh my god, okay, cool. Like, you know, it's bad enough. I told you, when I went to Super City, Utah, I went into Sally's looking for just a hair bonnet to sleep in, and they were looking at me like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, they were staring at me. And I was like, ugh. It's like, do you guys have a hair bonnet? No. What I'm saying is, the black experience, although it is a unique experience, it's not like, okay, this woman is trying to subject herself to basically discrimination, potential freaking racism, and for what? What does she get out of this?
Yeah. What are you gaining here?
She, okay. So, in February 2015, she did it in an article that was published in the Easterner. She said that she suffered from cervical cancer in 2006. Mm-hmm. But her, and that she had recovered from it by 2008. Her brother Ezra was like, I don't believe that shit.
Oh, Ezra's
like, how could she have had cervical cancer and we didn't know about it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in 2015, she said that she's bisexual.
Why did we even need to know that? Like, why is that even important?
I don't know. It's not, but whatever. She also stated that she's been diagnosed with PTSD. And then in October 2016, she legally changed her name. Guess what she changed her name to? You won't guess it, but guess anyway. She completely changed all of her names. First, middle, and last name.
Queen.
No. Queen.
T'Challa of Wakanda.
No. She wishes. She changed her name to Nkechi Amare Diallo.
Here we go.
She later clarified she still intends to use her name, Rachel Dolezal, as her public persona, but she changed her name to have a better chance of landing work. Because apparently, after all of this backlash, she wasn't able to get a job.
Oh, from your lies.
Yeah.
So your lies have held you back
from being outed as a liar. She is unable to find a job now.
Oh no, T'Challa, what are you going to do?
But in February 2017, she did an interview with The Guardian, and she said that she sees race as a social construct, which I can understand. It is a social construct to a certain extent, because as insofar as I socially believe that a person of a different color is either of a higher or a lower status than myself, because, you know, I'm above everybody. So everybody's below me, especially people with darker skin or people with
lighter skin. I'm sorry, what? Say this again?
She sees race as a social construct.
Okay.
Starting back, you know, back when this country was founded.
She's a house nigga. She'd be considered a house nigga because...
No, she wouldn't. She's white. She's not considered anything. But she's the slave master.
But if
she's master's wife.
The wife.
She's banging the slave men.
Well, okay.
That's what she's doing. Okay, let's not try to freaking pretend the slave masters were banging the female slaves, and then the wives were sneaking off into the slave quarters having sex with the male slaves. And they were all having fucking biracial babies, and nobody wanted to admit what was going on.
Okay. Show you right.
Okay.
Show you right.
Let's not play games.
Let's not play games.
White men were threatened by black men, and that's why they enslaved them. And that's the fucking truth. Anyway, so, she wrote a book. It was published in March 2017. The book was called In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World. And in the book, she compares her fucking issues to slavery. Oh my gosh, it's like slavery because...
Shut the fuck up.
I just, you know, people have persecuted me for being transracial or biracial. And that was the thing, like, apparently in her, some of, when people had, like, when she was working for the NAACP, people would write stuff, write articles, and they would call her transracial or biracial, and she just never bothered to correct them.
Okay.
So I didn't bother to correct you, and now I'm going to start darkening my skin. Well, she did that way before anyway. Way before she started working for the NAACP.
That's like saying, oh, I thought you were a doctor, and then I don't correct you, and then you say, hey, is there a doctor in the room, and I perform a surgery on your mom.
Right? Like a surgeon. It's like, I'm a doctor, yes, because I have a PhD.
Right, you're Ross
Geller. I've done all of the work to get the title doctor behind my name.
Of paleontology.
But I actually have not gone to med school.
Right, there it is.
So I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, doctor. Oh, my chest has been bothering me. Oh, here's some Tylenol. You're just having pain and then like a... 2 hours later, you die from a heart attack because you've been having a heart attack, and I'm the doctor with a PhD with no fucking medical fucking degree.
Did you see that episode of Friends when Rachel's dad has a heart attack and he's in the hospital? And he, like, Ross goes with Rachel to the hospital to see her father because he had a heart attack.
He's and, like, I'm Dr. Killer.
Yeah, he's like the doctor goes to meet them, and he's like, oh, you know your father as well. And Ross's like, hi, I'm Dr. Ross Geller. And Rachel's like, Ross, that actually means something here. Don't say that.
That's what it is. It's like, okay, great. Like, I am not that. Please don't put that on me because I don't want to be responsible for what happens after you said that shit. Exactly. Like, what the fuck? Oh, Jesus. Okay, so anyway. She says that, of course, her self-identification is genuine, even though it's not based on her ancestry. She issued a statement asserting that challenging the construct of race is at the core of evolving human consciousness. And, I'm sorry, evolving human consciousness? So now are you a sociologist? I don't understand. Like, it drives me crazy when people... Like, they presume to know shit that they don't know anything about.
Well, no.
I'm just saying, don't tell me. Don't come out with some bullshit. Oh, and evolving human consciousness. Really? Oh, okay. I believe you because you're pretending to be black and you got a fucking MFA in fine arts because you draw stuff. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Like, show me your credentials.
Show me your credentials.
I like to say... lots of smart things and try to diagnose people with conditions, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, even though I think most people probably have some sort of mental illness.
Would you call that a lie by, not by neglect, but like a lie?
A lie by omission.
By omission, there it is.
No, it's not a lie by omission, I don't think, because, it might be. She didn't correct the person.
There it is.
So... she didn't actually have to tell the lie. Someone else said it for her.
And she just let it travel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so... we're coming down to the end of this Rachel Dolezal debacle. Now we're coming to more recent fucking events. This chick published a book in March of 2017. Okay. She published a book. Well, guess what? In February 2017, she was on food stamps.
What?
She was receiving food stamps because she claimed that she was on the brink of homelessness and was unable to find employment. Her book was published in March. In May 2018, she was charged with second-degree perjury and felony theft by welfare fraud.
Bullshit.
By the Washington State Department of Social and Health Services.
Continue.
Information was revealed that she'd received $8,847 in food and child care assistance between August 2015 and December 2017. During that time, she had been receiving tens of thousands of dollars in unreported income.
Hmm. She's the welfare queen. Remember, the welfare queen was pretending to be black. Remember?
Was she? She wasn't white.
Oh, she was half black.
The thing was that Ronald Reagan made it seem like welfare queens were black.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So during that time, she had been receiving tens of thousands of unreported fucking income. She told the state that her income was less than $500 a month. State investigators discovered that after her book was fucking published, that approximately $83,924, yes, I said it, $83,924, was deposited into her bank account in monthly installments between
what?
August 2015 to September 2017.
And she's living on welfare.
She's not living on welfare. She's living on the money that she gets, but she's also getting welfare.
That's disgusting.
According to the Spokane County Prosecutor's Office, she could have received a sentence of up to 15 years in prison if she was found guilty. But she fucking pleaded out. She entered into a diversion agreement on March 25th, 2019. And so she agreed to repay the money and to complete 120 hours of community service. To avoid going to trial.
Fuck, that happened last year, huh? Mm-hmm.
Bitch. That, well, she settled last year, yeah.
Bitch.
Uh-huh. 83, so that's the story of our black like me friend, Rachel Dolezal. A.K.A. Nkechi, what the fuck's her name? Nkechi Amare Diallo. I swear to God, if I ever met her, I would be like, listen, bitch. I'm embarrassed by you, and I really wish that you would, like, go off and live in fucking Siberia and don't return to this country.
Oh, my God. You embarrass me.
I'm embarrassed by you and for you. You really are trying to do the most in your blackness that is non-existent. She's crazy. I feel like she's crazy. There's some mental illness going on, and her fucking... Her own family members are like, the bitch crazy, and she's a liar, and why? What is the whole purpose of this? Like, it still hasn't... I identify as black. Yes, I'm black, she says. And it's like, no, you're not. You can fucking... You can put shoe polish on your face if you want to. That's not going to make you any blacker. Her brother is like, basically what she's doing is putting on blackface, and yeah. It's offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not trying to put on blackface as a as a performance. Regardless of whether it's a performance or not, sweetheart, you are appropriating, you are culturally appropriating people. People and oppressed people at that. Yeah. Like, it's not like, we're white. I'm white. I'm not trying to, you know, invoke white privilege. You're trying to be an oppressed person. Why?
Yeah, why?
You're already a woman. Like, don't, isn't that enough for you?
Okay, shit. Hello. You got that against you.
Okay. God damn it.
And you want to be a black woman?
And now she's biracial, I mean bisexual too, so that's another oppressed people. Like, she's just trying to be all everything. I'm a dolphin. Fuck you, bitch. Go get a life somewhere. Go drown yourself in the ocean. Dolphin.
Get a life. Well, fuck. That's interesting.
It's ridiculous. Like, where else do you find shit like this?
I don't know.
There are people in this world that are like, why would you want to have a black child? Because your child would be subjected to all of this stuff. You know what I mean? So, she's like trying to put herself through some stuff, and I don't understand why. I don't understand it. I will never understand it. Blah. These kids they think they're slick.
They think they're so slick. All right, well, Rachel Dolezal, we need to figure out how to spell that bitch's name.
No, we don't. It's right there.
Well, I'll be quick, but we do have a lying piece of human trash today.
Yeah.
Lying piece of human trash. And that is going to, and I want to go ahead and give a big thank you to Vanessa. Not Another X-Files podcast. And thank you for sending this fucking asshole our way. And our lying piece of human trash is Jason Klopp of Vancouver, Canada.
Fucking dickhole.
He's a dickhole. And what he is doing, he's advertising retreats in Mexico where children with autism can receive pills and liquids made from human stool. And he charges them $15,000 for these treatments. He's claiming these treatments will cure, remedy, or alleviate effects of autism.
Yeah, it's called which is fecal microbiota transplant.
Which is bullshit.
FMT. That's what they call it.
Right. It's not for autism. They actually it's for people with, like, gut issues. With, yeah. Like, issues with, like,
like,
I was going to say H. pylori, but that's actually not one of the things on there. But
it's like small intestinal bowel infection or something along those lines. And there has been, like, studies of, getting a boost of someone else's shit in your gut.
They did an episode.
That had, like, a healthy stuff in there to go ahead and regulate what's going on in your body and your gut for people that are having that issue. But for him to try and sell this as an autism cure-all is straight-up bullshit.
An autism treatment. They did an episode about the FMT on South Park.
Oh, okay.
So, in this episode, Kyle's mom...
Oh, God.
Is having some sort of, like, she's like on the verge of death. Like, she's like, she don't feel good. And the doctor's like, we're going to do a fecal transplant for you. And they're like, yeah, you know, it works wonders, blah, 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 blah. Well, she goes and gets it done. And, like, all the women are like, you look amazing. What did you do?
She's all dying and gone.
So they're trying to steal each other's poop. Like, they're trying to steal. They're all trying to steal the poop of other people. And somehow, I think I'm gonna say it was Tom Brady's poop that they were like, they eventually ended, everybody was trying to get Tom Brady's poop. So he ended up like keeping jars of his own poop in a cabinet. Disgusting. Because he knew that people were trying to steal his poop because it was making them like, they were like, basically they were gaining abilities with this poop.
Guys, that's not what poop does, okay? So don't believe the hype.
And I mean, and the poop, the way they were doing the poop transplant was like through a surgical procedure, or like they were shoving poop up their butts. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the way that they actually do FMT. So, yeah, but this whole autism treatment bullshit is a lie.
And this guy's, he's all about the money. Like, he was advertising for, you know, people with the issue with their gut, with the imbalance and the inflammation and whatever. Yeah. As a treatment. But he's just like, I need your money up front. Give me the cash, give me the cash, give me the cash. And that's what he was always about. So I don't know.
But, and he's a naturopath.
He's like, a naturopath.
Naturopaths don't treat autism.
Nope.
So there's that.
He's full of shit, man. And so I hate that this fucking asshole is out here trying to con people and collect money.
And the issue with this is that, first of all, he's in Canada.
He's Canada.
Second of all, I don't even think they consider what he did was like a crime.
Yeah.
It's frowned upon by the like the Naturopaths Association. But it's not actually a crime. So he probably won't see any fucking jail time for his fucking shenanigans. And it's like, oh, they're like, well, our hands are tied. You know, we've done all we can do as an organization. So this asshole could probably go set up shop because he's in, what, Ontario?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. So he could go to, like, fucking Newfoundland or somewhere else, set up shop and do the same bullshit.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you guys are doing any type of, like, research for any ailments or sicknesses or whatever, like, you're at your wit's end, do your due diligence and just make sure that they're not about the bullshit and, you know, find lots of different sources and people that are doing it and, you know, go from there before shelling out your hard-earned cash
and
because people
transporting
just want your money.
From Canada to Mexico.
Well, what kind of fucking shit is that? Like, exactly. Fuck you, fucking asshole. And don't make your kids eat someone else's poop. It's disgusting.
Well, it's the microbiota is what they're
well, and then
after.
What they were saying was like the their treatments, they were just like they
and it's not even it's not approved in Canada what he was doing.
Exactly. And it like it's untested and it's not cleared and you get the poop from a unscanned source. There's like issues. Like it's gross.
Yeah, you're playing with poop, okay? You can get all kinds of issues from that. You can get fucking... You can die. That's something that will kill you. Don't fuck with other people's shit.
Yeah.
Literally.
All right, man. Awesome. So, what's your thumbs up for the week?
Tomorrow's MLK Day. No work for me. Well, I'm going to be doing stuff, so I guess it is. But are you working tomorrow?
Yep, I'm off.
Yeah, 3-day weekend. Woo!
Whoop. I'm going to be putting out snippets for this podcast.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I need to, I'm going to be doing laundry. I need to wash everything.
I still need to wash the sheets in this room.
I need to wash my sheets on my bed, and I need to do my laundry. Norman did his fucking laundry yesterday, or was it yesterday? Or Friday. And I need to do my laundry. Mm-hmm. I need to do Gracie's laundry.
So that's about it. What are you doing? Other than doing snippets.
I'm going to sit on this webinar for this new... It's like an email campaign thing, but it's like videos. So you like record little videos and you send them to people like in their emails. So it's like, hey, Brandy, I've been trying to reach you. Let's get together for an appointment this week. You know, hit me up. Let's schedule an appointment. And it's just more personable because nobody wants to reply to my emails. It's so rude. So I'm going to get in your fucking face somehow. So I'm going to send you videos to your email.
Video emails. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I'm sitting on a webinar tomorrow to learn a little bit more about it and maybe, like, roll out with it for what I'm doing at work. So that should be cool.
Do you have that capability already, like, at work? Like, to make video emails?
It's just, like, I can record it from my phone. No, we don't have anything at work to do that right now.
Like, yeah, like, do you have a software or something that
will... Nope, this is new.
Because they would have to click a link or something.
Well, they just open the email and the message would be in it. So it's another company. That's what the webinar is for. It's a company that's offering the services.
Okay.
So I'm going to learn a little bit more and just make sure I could use it efficiently and it'll, you know, get the job done and just see what it's about as a tool for me and my lead generating activities that I have to do at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking into that. I actually found out about it from a podcast that I listened to. It's called like
Brutal Truth About Sales and Selling. That's what it's called.
Oh. I'm going to check it out. It seems pretty interesting. I mean, other than that, just, you know, living La Vida Loca. We're coming up on a year very, 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 very soon. The beginning of February, it'll be a year. And I think we should do something fun. I think we should do, like, the Roaring Twenties for the month of February. Like, we should do stories from, like, the 1920s fraudsters and criminals and stuff like that. I think that'd be a little fun little snack for our year.
100 years of fraud.
Yeah, or maybe we should redo the fire fraud one.
Maybe why?
Because
to update it.
There's a refrigerator in the background chiming, first of all. And just so you guys can, like, you know, that was our first episode, the scam of all scams, Firefest. That was our first our episode. But I've listened to it, like, a couple times. I'm just like, I cringe because it could be so much better. Mm. And taking inspiration from a Why I'm Single podcast, Chuck and Amy, they're working on the podcast together now. Well, they always have been, but now it's really just Chuck and Amy.
Yeah, because he was the producer before.
Yes.
And now he's like a member.
Yeah, he remastered the when Amy tells the story about her getting left at the altar.
Oh my gosh.
The mother of monsters or something like that.
That guy was a dick.
That guy was a fucking dick. We suggest listening to Why I'm Single. Check that out. So he remastered that episode and re-released it. So I'm going to listen to that. Check it out. And we're going to be celebrating your mother's birthday today. So,
yeah.
Woo woo.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my thumbs up.
Okay, that's cool. I'm looking at some frauds from the 20s now, and our friend Charles Podsey was arrested in 1920.
I have another one that's from that era. I'll look it up, but we're going to do that for you guys because we love you guys. I really, 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 really need to get some stickers done. I've, like, sent our address to so many people, and I've got addresses of stickers that I need to send out. So I really need to get that done and get some stickers ordered.
Get the stickers done!
Get the stickers done! Get the stickers done! Because I love you guys, and if you want a sticker, just slide in that DM and just send us your address, and I'll go ahead and send you a sticker. You don't have to do anything special. Just send us a DM on any platform. And
send nudes!
Please don't.
Fucking assholes.
Send me a toe. That's all I want. I don't want to see anything else.
Chop your toe off?
Okay. In a napkin.
Put it in the mail.
Severed toe. No, I don't want that either.
That little baby toe?
I never requested that, guys. This is a lie. So just send me your address and I'll send you some stickers.
It's a lie.
So thank you guys for listening. If you aren't already connected with us on social, connect with us on social media. Hit us up on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod. On Instagram and or Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. I'm working on the group. I've added like a bunch of people to the Facebook group. So you can find us in its Book of Lies Podcast group. And there's a page. So connect with us that way.
Also, if you're international, from across the pond or anywhere else, let us know where you're from.
Yeah, where are you from, bro?
We want to know, what's your name? Where are you from? Are you from Lilyhammer? Let us know.
Oh my God, are you from Lilyhammer? Because I feel like we're brothers or sisters or siblings. No, have you watched Lilyhammer on Netflix? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good series. That's a Netflix series. I don't even know if it's still there.
Lilyhammer. Yeah, they're it's still there.
Is it?
They don't take it off. It's a Netflix series.
If it's a Netflix original, but like Friends, they took Friends off. It's not on Netflix anymore.
It's a Netflix original show.
Okay, so it should still be there. It's super interesting. But thank you guys. We love you guys, and have a great week. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was Book of Lies, the podcast.